Welcome back. Today we're working with GitHub issues, which are often where collaboration starts.
And an issue can be a bug report, but it's not only bugs, right?
Right, an issue is a trackable unit of work. It might be a bug, a feature request, a question, a documentation chore, or a note that says something needs attention here.
So it is the shared place where people agree on what needs to happen before anyone starts changing files.
Exactly. In this chapter, that matters because challenges 2 and 3 happen entirely in your learning room repository's issue threads. You file one issue, then you join a conversation on someone else's issue.
No branch, no commit, no pull request yet.
Not yet. Chapter 5 is about getting comfortable with issue work first. Finding the issues tab, reading the page, writing clearly, commenting well, and confirming your work was recorded.
Before someone starts clicking around, is there any accessibility setup they should know about?
Yes, GitHub has an improved issues experience with better landmarks and screen reader announcements. For many accounts, it is already the standard interface. If you see a feature preview area in your user menu, you can check whether new issues experience is listed and enabled. If it is not listed, that usually means it has already graduated into the regular interface.
And for NVIDIA users, there is that mode switch that can trip people up.
Yes, use browse mode for reading headings, issue titles, comments, and timelines. Switch to focus mode when you're typing in search boxes, title fields, or comment boxes. NVIDIA plus space toggles the mode, and NVIDIA plus F7 opens a list of headings, links, form fields, buttons, and landmarks, which is a very practical way to reorient.
Low vision learners may be scanning visually instead, especially at high zoom.
The Issues tab is in the repository navigation, and the New Issue button is prominent near the top of the Issues list. At high zoom, you may need to move through the top area carefully, but the list, filters, and button are still part of the same page. You can also go straight to a repository's issues URL if someone gives you the link.
And keyboard shortcuts can help if they are enabled.
Yes, from a repository page, G then I jumps to issues. Once you're on the list, issue titles are often heading level 3, so pressing 3 can move between issue titles more quickly than arrowing through every control. The issues list is your dashboard. It shows open work, closed work, titles, issue numbers, labels, authors, assignees, comment counts, and sometimes milestones.
What should someone listen for when a screen reader lands on an issue in the list?
Usually the title link, the issue number, the state such as open or closed, who opened it, when it was updated, labels, and comment information. The exact order can vary, so the useful habit is to stop after each title and listen for the details before activating it.
That makes the list less like a wall of links and more like a set of work items.
Yes, and the search or filter bar at the top lets you narrow that set down. GitHub uses search qualifiers, which are short filters typed into the search field.
Like is open label bug.
Exactly, is open shows open issues. Is closed shows closed ones. Label bug shows issues with the bug label. You can combine them, so is open label bug assignee at me means open bug issues assigned to you.
What about milestones and authors?
Milestone, version 1 filters by a milestone, author, username finds issues opened by a person, and assignee, username finds issues assigned to them. You can also add plain words to search inside titles and descriptions, like keyboard shortcut or broken link.
And if typing qualifiers feels like too much at first?
Use the filter controls. GitHub gives you menus for labels, assignees, milestones, and open or closed state. The search bar and the filter buttons are two paths to the same goal, a smaller, more relevant list.
Once I open an issue, what am I actually reading?
Start with the title, then read the body, which is the main description written in Markdown. After that, move through the timeline where comments, label changes, assignments, references, commits, and pull request activity can appear.
So the body tells me what the author thought was important, and the timeline tells me what has happened since.
Yes, the sidebar adds metadata, labels, assignees, milestone, link pull requests, and sometimes sub-issues. Labels are short tags like bug, documentation, or good first issue. Assignees are the people responsible for working on it. A milestone groups issues toward a larger goal or release.
For navigation, headings are useful here too.
They are. The issue title is usually the first main heading. Comments and timeline items are easier to skim if you move by headings, landmarks, or form fields instead of reading every page element from the top.
And the terminal is an option, not a requirement.
Right? If you're using GitHub CLI, GH Issue View 123 renders the issue in the terminal. GH Issue View 123 comments includes the comments. If the markdown or timeline is easier in the browser, GH Issue View 123 web opens the issue page instead.
I like that the rule is read first, then write.
Yes, before commenting, assigning, closing, or editing, read the issue enough to understand the request and the current state. Now let's talk about filing a new issue, because that is challenge 2.
This is where people often freeze. The blank title field feels surprisingly serious.
A clear title says what needs attention and where possible. Broken link is vague. Setup guide link to accessibility settings returns 404 is much better because it names the object, the problem, and the impact.
And the body is where the detail goes.
Yes, a strong issue body usually answers 5 questions. What happened, what you expected, how to reproduce it, what environment you used, and any additional context. For documentation chores, that might become what content is missing, where it belongs, and what the fix should say.
Markdown helps make that readable.
Definitely, use short paragraphs, numbered steps, bulleted lists, links, and task lists. If you include code, commands, or error messages, put them in fenced code blocks so they are read as code and not mashed into the sentence.
What about labels and assignees while creating the issue?
If you have permission, you can add labels from the sidebar or issue form, assign someone, and place the issue in a milestone. If you do not have permission, that is fine. Maintainers or facilitators can triage it after you submit.
And repositories may have issue templates.
Yes, if a template picker appears, choose the template that fits or choose a blank issue when the challenge asks for that. Templates are there to guide you, not to trap you.
For challenge 2, learners are doing this in the Learning Room repository.
Correct. Open the Learning Room repo, go to Issues, activate New Issue, choose a blank issue if needed, write a title of at least 12 characters, and write a meaningful body of at least 80 characters. The suggested theme is an accessibility problem or chore you wish an AI agent could help fix later.
And you're done when the issue appears in the list with your username, a clear title, and the description you wrote.
Yes, copy the URL or note the issue number, like #150, because you'll use that as evidence later.
Challenge 3 shifts from filing to participating.
Exactly. Open a classmate's issue or a facilitator-provided peer simulation issue, read it carefully, and leave a helpful comment. The comment should include an at mention of the issue author, like at classmate, so GitHub notifies them.
That notification part is easy to overlook.
It is, but it is central to open source communication. An at mention says, I want this person to see this. Later, when you study notifications, you'll decide how those alerts reach you.
What makes a comment helpful instead of noisy?
It adds context, confirms a detail, asks a focused question, or suggests a next step. Same is not very useful. At classmate, I can confirm this link returns a 404 in setupguide.md under the accessibility settings heading gives the author something they can use.
And reactions are lighter than comments.
Yes, emoji reactions can say thanks, agreement, celebration, or concern without adding another full message to the thread. Use them when you want to acknowledge something but do not need to add new information.
After the comment appears and the username becomes a link, challenge 3 is complete.
Right? If you're using the web page, Control plus Enter often submits a comment from the comment box. If you're using the terminal, GH issue comment 123 body your message, posts inline, and GH issue comment 123 editor opens your default editor for a longer comment. Issues also connect to each other and to pull requests through references.
That's the #number syntax.
Yes, if you type #150 in the same repository, GitHub links to issue or pull request number 150. If the issue is in another repository, you can use owner/repo #150.
And those references show up in the timeline.
They do. That makes the history traceable. If a pull request mentions an issue, the issue timeline can show that connection, and the pull request becomes part of the story.
What about closing keywords?
In a pull request description, phrases like fixes #150, closes #150, or resolves #150 can automatically close the issue when the pull request is merged. Those keywords can also appear in some issue comments, but the most common workflow is a pull request that resolves an issue.
So issues describe the work and pull requests propose the change.
Exactly. They are separate objects, but they work together. An issue can explain the problem, and a pull request can contain the commit history, file changes, discussion, and review that solve it.
Where do sub-issues fit?
Sub-issues are parent-child relationships for breaking a large issue into smaller tracked pieces when the repository has that feature available. A parent issue can show a progress indicator as child issues are completed.
How is that different from a task list in the issue body?
A task list is a checklist inside one issue. A sub-issue is its own issue, with its own title, comments, labels, assignee, and status. Use sub-issues when each piece deserves separate tracking or discussion.
And the optional extension asks learners to add one if the feature is available.
Yes, open the issue you created, look for sub-issues or add sub-issue, create a new child issue with a specific title and short description, and confirm it appears nested under the parent.
Maintainers and triagers have a few extra controls, right?
They do. They can assign issues, apply and remove labels, set milestones, close issues, reopen issues, and sometimes transfer or delete issues depending on permissions.
Assigning yourself means you're taking responsibility for the work.
Yes, or at least signaling that you're the person currently handling it. Labels communicate type and status, such as bug, enhancement, documentation, help wanted, or needs triage. Milestones group work into a release, sprint, workshop checkpoint, or project goal.
What does closed mean?
Closed means the issue is no longer active as open work. It might be completed, it might be a duplicate, it might be out of scope, or it might be closed as not planned. A good close usually includes a reason or a comment so readers understand what happened.
And reopening is allowed when new information changes the situation.
Exactly. If the bug returns the fix was incomplete or the issue was closed by mistake, reopen it and explain why. Reopening without context can confuse people, so add a comment that names the new evidence.
Transfer and delete sound more serious.
They are. Transferring moves an issue to a different repository, which can be useful if it was filed in the wrong place. Deleting removes it from view and is usually reserved for spam, sensitive content, or mistakes that should not remain public.
And good first issue is the label new contributors often look for.
Yes, it marks work that maintainers believe is approachable for someone new to the project. Still read the issue carefully, check recent comments, and make sure nobody else is already actively working on it before you jump in. If you prefer the terminal, GitHub CLI can handle much of this issue workflow.
But first, make sure you're in the right repository.
Exactly. Run git remote v to see what remote your local clone points to, and ghrepo view to confirm the GitHub repository context. That prevents you from listing or commenting in the wrong place.
Then you can list assigned issues.
Yes, gh issue list assignee at me shows issues assigned to you in the current repository. Gh issue view 123 lets you read one issue. Gh issue comment 123 body, thanks, I can reproduce this, post a comment.
And creating an issue can be interactive or inline.
Right, gh issue create prompts for title, body, labels, and assignees. If you want to provide everything in one command, use options like title, body, label, and assignee. For example, gh issue create title broken setup link body, the accessibility settings link returns 404. Label documentation.
What about editing metadata from the terminals?
Gh issue edit 123 add assignee at me can assign yourself. You can use add label, remove label, and milestone when you have permission. Gh issue close 123 closes an issue. Gh issue close 123 comment, fixed in hash 151 adds context, and gh issue reopen 123 reopens it.
The CLI is powerful, so the safest habit is still read, act, confirm.
Yes, read with gh issue view, make one focus change, then confirm with gh issue view or gh issue list. And when in doubt, use gh issue help or gh issue edit help rather than guessing at options.
Let's talk specifically about accessibility issue writing.
A strong accessibility issue names the barrier, where it happens, what technology was involved, and what the expected accessible behavior should be. For example, in welcome.md, the banner image is referenced without alt text. A screen reader user does not receive the same information conveyed visually. Add concise alt text that describes the purpose of the image.
That is much more useful than accessibility is broken.
Yes, for accessibility reports, include browser, operating system, screen reader, or magnification tool if relevant, zoom level if it matters, steps to reproduce actual behavior and expected behavior. If you can describe severity without exaggerating, do that too.
Feature requests need a slightly different shape.
They do. A good feature request explains the user need, the proposed behavior, why it helps, and any alternatives you've considered. It should leave room for maintainers to discuss the design instead of demanding one exact implementation.
The chapter's learning cards are meant to reinforce these habits.
Yes, they summarize navigation, filtering, reading, commenting, filing, cross-referencing, sub-issues, managing issues, the good first issue label, and accessibility-specific writing. Use them as quick review prompts after you've practiced the workflow once.
What should someone do if they get stuck?
First, slow down and reorient. On the web, use headings, landmarks, the issue title, and the issue number in the page title or URL. In NVDA, check whether you're in browse mode or focus mode. In the terminal, confirm the repository with ghrepo view before running issue commands.
And if the issue did not appear?
Check whether the form has required fields, whether a template picker is still waiting for a choice, or whether you are in the wrong repository. After submitting, the new issue page should load, the title should be a heading, and the issue number should appear in the URL.
How do learners submit evidence for the chapter?
Go to your assigned challenge 2 or challenge 3 issue and post a comment that says chapter 5 completed. Then include the issue number you created, the issue number where you commented with an at mention, and the optional sub-issue number if you made one. After that, close your assigned challenge issues so the facilitator can review your activity.
So the expected outcome is not just that an issue exists. It's that the learner can create one clearly, participate respectfully, use metadata and references, and confirm the work is visible.
Exactly. Manual issue work builds the judgment you'll need later when tools or agents help with triage. If you can read the thread, understand the labels, ask a good question, and verify the result yourself, you're ready for the collaboration that comes next.